Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp. As a podcast listener, you've heard from us before. Today, let's hear from our members about what online therapy has done for them.
I would recommend my therapist 1,000 times over. She has truly changed my life.
The day after my first session, my friends and family said I sounded like myself again for the first time in weeks.
You deserve to invest in your well-being. Visit BetterHelp.com to see what it can do for you. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.
Hello and welcome to the Driving Mall Show here at 8 p.m. on Mondays, as we always are. Once we want to get going again after our Christmas kind of break and settling down from all the rugby that was last year. But after Steve and I have just spent the last 5 minutes trying to figure out what the overtime rules are for NFL, it's good to see that rugby also was nice and complicated the weekend with referees getting involved.
Oh, wow. A controversial start to the stream, isn't it? Goodness me. Didn't expect that. Yeah, I mean, we love to be confused. Hey, it's good to learn, right? It's good to learn about things. And I did a lot of learning today, even though I watched a fair bit of old NFL. But, you know, there's always situations and circumstances and things like that that you don't see it, like in the past, and new and interesting. So, yeah, good to learn. A lot of learning.
Yes, a lot of learning. And on that side of things. And after, I think, an opening round where I said last week that I enjoyed all three games, this round, a little bit hard, a little bit interesting to watch to me, with the England-Wales game not being that great. In Ireland beating Italy by 36 points, let's be honest. I knew the result before it even... I'd even looked what the result was. Never mind, watch the actual game. and then also, let's be honest, whilst Scotland-France was the best game of the weekend, there were definitely periods of that where you sat there just going, boy, this is really... Can somebody just please run with the ball rather than just kick it at each other? I mean, in fact, even just move with the ball rather than everyone stood still in the whole stadium. Here we are. We've got 60-odd thousand people watching 22 guys plus a referee just stand still on the pitch. I mean, boy, I mean, paint and drying was, not the best round of rugby we've had at the Six Nations League.
No, it had its moments, right? But I guess that's the matchups. I mean, we kind of, round one, I guess, probably surprised us a little bit. I mean, the Italians and the Welsh performed a lot better than we expected at the start of the tournament before we saw them play. It was round two. I guess we got a match up between the team that's clearly head and shoulders above the rest against the team that's now clearly at the bottom of the pile, right? But yeah, the whole kicking thing needs to be addressed, I think, by Global World Rugby as soon as possible, because it's not a good look when you've got all those players just standing around going, any minute now. Any hour now, if you want to do something, would be. And I mean, look, what was kind of ironic about it too, because Finn Russell was probably the worst at doing it. Come back and bite them on the ass.
Well, Finn Russell was, would just stand there looking around, going, so what am I going to do? Are you guys going to come at me? he's the most kind of comfortable in his skin in that kind of situation where he'll go. And that where he's happy to do that kind of stuff, and like kind of let's play the rules like this, like they are the rules. They're the laws, right? Let's play the laws as they're written. And as they're written, no one was doing anything wrong. But nowadays, the laws unfortunately aren't just for the players to play the game; they're also for everyone to watch it as well. And so, which puts world rugby in a bit of a difficult situation, this kind of thing. Do you make laws for the game to make the game interesting to watch, for which it's about 1% of your players, or do you make rules for the laws for the other 99% of the players who are just playing on a Saturday or a Sunday with mum and dad watching on the side of the pitch? Who are you making your laws for? Are you making them for the players or for the viewing public? And I think too much of the public discourse is about, you know, it's boring to watch. Yes, but it's not. The laws aren't made for you. They're made for people to play the game. At the end of the day, it just happens you want to watch it. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. It's not world rugby. It isn't here to make the game good for you to watch. It's make the game interesting to play or fun to play. Mm. Now, I'm not sure that standing still watching people kick the ball over your head is interesting to play. So from that point of view, it does actually both kind of things need to be looked at.
Mm. Agreed.
But Nocturnal Rights has got a serious question for you, Corflake. Has Ethan Roots responded yet to your to your fight? Calling him out for a fight. I can't remember which format you were going to take, whether you're going to go boxing or sumo or what it was going to be. But
sumo might be the way to go. Sumo might be the way to go for me. I think that might be the option I might want to take up. I'm waiting on contracts, waiting on contract deals. That's the big thing, you know, seeing if there's enough zeros in it for me. That's what we're looking for. So I'll keep you posted, Nocturnal, and see if we have something for, I don't know, the O2 Arena or whatever. Is that sort of thing in the UK? You know, we can go over there and have a big 60,000 sellout. You'll get a freebie, though. Don't worry, Nocturnal, I'll get you a freebie.
I'm pretty sure that any number that is there for, as far as Dolly falls for you, is that zero. There's no other number. That's the problem. Oh, dearie me, dearie me. A couple of little news articles, interesting news articles to talk about. First of all, actually, is it interesting? It's a bit depressing. Anyway, so the New Zealand Rugby provinces have been told by the government or the Ministry of Social Development that they must repay $3 million worth of COVID wage subsidy repayments because apparently the provinces and New Zealand Rugby double claimed.
Oh.
So yes, the mixed martial arts on the computer will be the safe option, Nocturnal. Right?
It's going Nocturnal.
Right there, actually.
You're a thinker.
Considering that Steve's got an entire YouTube channel about playing computer games, it's the one space he might have a chance against Ethan Roots. Apparently they have got to respond to this. This week, apparently, 2.9 million of $9.7 million of wage subsidies apparently was effectively claimed for twice. Now, not surprising when you have all of the fun and games of who pays who and are you centrally contracted? Are you not centrally contracted? Does the money come via the union, or does it go to a provincial union, or is it paid directly by the? They keep it nice and complicated, don't they? And obviously, zero transparency for anyone who's not part of the game. So who knows on that one? I can see where Silver Lake money's going to go pretty quick, Steve.
Jeez, come on! They've got lots of money sitting around. They'll just push that back straight away. Hey, we talked about, you know, being confused about NFL rules, right? Watching the Super Bowl, it's like we should be used to it, right? I mean, watching and seeing what New Zealand rugby gets up to. I mean, this should be just, you know, another day in life of being a rugby fan, of not being, of being confused about what's happening, where things are going. But I mean, I've seen Rugby South, and I just literally read it about 5 minutes ago before coming on here. I seen the headline saying Rugby South and preventing ignorance, not knowing about paying back the money. And it's like, what is that about? Considering Rugby South and was what? Going bankrupt about 5 or 6 years ago and literally got bailed out on that instance. So, yeah, it might not be good for the unions if they've got to fork up any of that cash, if they have to dish out anything as well. But, hey, it's back to square one, isn't it, with finances? It's always about finances. And it makes you wonder. I'm surprised that the government is actually chasing this sort of thing up, or unless they're just picking on the big, big dollar signs And they're not, like, imagine if they're doing this to a lot of companies, because there was a lot of companies that double dipped throughout COVID. I can tell you that for free. So there could be a lot of companies that are in even more trouble if not already enough just running their business. It could get very much a lot worse for them in the coming days. So ouch for that one.
For all those lawyers out there, we just like to point out this, that the double dipping comment is a personal opinion of Cornflake rather than of New Zealand Sports Radio. Because that's what Tony Wright says. Yeah, lawyers will be coming in here and making some dosh. Yes, they're the ones that are going to be making money on this. Apparently, Southland are only 80,000 in the dock for this one, compared to the 300K of Auckland, Wellington and Canterbury, which I guess pretty much matches probably the overall wage bill differential in that Auckland, Wellington and Canterbury have got around about three to four times as much cash as Southland and Manawatu. Manawatu, yeah, made a 338,000 loss last year on 600,000 in over a 50% loss. That's massive on your revenue of 600K and you made a loss of 338,000. Boy, oh boy, there's some, any business person who's running a company like that would be going bust very, very quickly. Unless they were growing. And let's be honest, Manawatu, one thing they're not doing is growing at the moment, or rugby at its all. So anyway, Simon makes a political comment about tax cuts and needing cash. Yep, you're probably true there. And for those of you who were, want to get involved in political cash, do come on live and do it in the live chat, because I'm not going to bother getting onto it too much in the actual show itself. Look, it's just a bit of a mess, isn't it? Let's be honest about that. A little bit more interesting was...
It's always money.
Yes. Yes, and then over in Australia, where obviously money is, again... it's about money over there. Yeah, Simon said, interesting that Australia Rugby was thinking of merging Moana Pacifica and the Melbourne Rebels. And then also thinking about putting them in Hawaii as well. So, yeah, who knows what is true and what is not around what Australian Rugby has been thinking about. I mean, if you read one of the other articles, it talks about, these are quotes from Melbourne Rebels who, remember, have just gone bust, okay? They were suggesting things like Rugby Australia was deliberately trying to kill Super Rugby, that basically weren't giving enough cash. Well, funny that you were saying they weren't giving enough cash. So, I mean, you've got to say that, so who knows kind of what is and what isn't true. There's lots of rumours running around at the moment on that sort of things. Joe Smith, though, has given a nice interview. He's been talking about taking over as the national coach. Say that he's already talked to Dave Rennie, and that he's got talks lined up with, got a phone call lined up with Eddie Jones as well. So he's just going to find out how much shit he's in, isn't he?
he should bring them back as assistant coaches and bring Rennie in, just a middle finger to Rugby Australia. He's a really good coach. I think we need his impact and his knowledge. I did see a thing. I think it was Shane who, has been on the show in the past talking a lot about seeing Schmidt in the stands for some preseason games as well. So he's already getting committed and out there and watching the players, even though, as we say, preseason doesn't matter, despite the fact the Highlanders absolutely thrashed the Hurricanes in the weekend, thrashed those Hurricanes. It's good to see him getting involved and is in looking at his players. And I mean, he's committed, right? I mean, it's probably easy to look at them and go, like the Australians are, and going, oh, another New Zealander. Why do they do that? They should be picking an Australian. They just need to shut up. But, this shows his commitment, shows he's committed to the job and determined to do something good. So he's out there and he's fully into it, which is nice to see. We might be seeing him in the stands a lot more over the next couple of months.
Yeah, look, he hasn't started the job until the 1st of March. So he's unpaid at the moment, and he's already over there. It did talk about his son who has epilepsy, and that the fact that they live 500 meters from where he currently works, and so hence whenever he has any problems, they can just get around there and help. And obviously he's not going to be able to do that from Australia, but he's talked with both his wife and his son has got their blessing for it. And the point of the points where that is, this is a part of this is about sustaining the long-term future financially for his son. So part of it is, and we talk about players going overseas making sure their well, their families are sorted long term financially, and it looks like that's part of what Schmidt's doing as well on this side of things. So, you say he is putting in the hard yards. He's not just purely there for the paycheck. He's already there doing it. He's already talked to Michael Hooper as well.
Who?
Yes, exactly.
The Sevens player.
I was chatting to him about the mindset at the moment of players. And I thought it was really funny.
What did he know?
He wasn't actually a player anymore. Well, not for the national team. He's doing the right thing, isn't he? Reaching out to people, trying to learn what the hell's going on, what kind of situation he's in, and talking about the Lions and also the upcoming World Cup that's going to be in Australia. So, good on him.
And their tour from Wales that'll be coming up mid-year.
Look, now he talks about what players wanted to get back in it, and actually, one of the ways to deal with a bad memory is to overwrite it with a happy memory. It's basically. Wales coming over would be one way of getting rid of one of those memories from the Rugby World Cup, wouldn't it?
Or creating a new one.
Yes.
Because let's be honest, that's fairly likely, right? We talked about it in the weekend. I mean, it's probably a series. It's probably one of the two teams that out of the Six Nations that Australia would want to see come their way. But, I mean, Males has been a bit bad-mouthed, right? We'll talk about them more. But, gee, I reckon if the Wallabies aren't on their game and Wales are on their game, they're not just going to cakewalk this.
Oh, no. It's great. They've got a...
It's going to be a good series. I think it's a good match. It's a good matchup between what could be two very similar teams. I think if you send Ireland there, that's a disaster. Wales, I think, fit the bill or Scotland probably would have gone all right. I think just Scotland just mentally are a team that could go anywhere that has a big nation feel about it, and they'll be in trouble.
Yeah, they wouldn't want England because England have got a history of doing well down in Australia as well. Again,
so does Scotland.
That mental kind of situation. That's good there. The third week of the July test pit will be T1 versus T2 nations. Wow, yes, variety first time. Yeah, thank God at last. Look, the Northern Hemisphere Tier 1 teams always had to have a Tier 2 nation during the November window, purely because of numbers, logistics, right? There's four Tier 1 Southern Hemisphere nations visiting six Tier 1 European nations. Therefore, by numbers, two of them have to play Tier 2 nations each week. But it's good to see, yes, that actually the Southern Hemisphere Tier 1 nations will all be playing Tier 2 teams for a change, whereas previously, the only time New Zealand would play a Tier 2 team would be outside of international windows, which is fine for Japan, which has all its players locally, and they can get their players however they want, but doesn't work for anybody else, like the USA. Suddenly, half our players play in Europe, so we can't have them, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, a bit of a mess. We should run through the pre-season just to look at the numbers and go, yep, who cares?
There's only one match that matters.
Clearly that was the Crusaders beating Bristol 14-31.
That wasn't bad.
As you said, that was one where there's two attacking teams. Beers. Next up, the Highlanders beat the Hurricanes 52-19. And there's an article going, well, the Highlanders got a new attacking weapon. Who's this going to be? Oh, Tabitha Vanawai. Yeah, like that was a surprise. I mean, seriously, of course he was going to be. Wow, they were charging $6 to watch that game on Bristol's website. Jeez.
£3, wasn't it? Yeah, £3 for, It's all right. See, this is where you come join our Discord channel, Simon, because we had it streaming on there for free. No charge to you whatsoever. We had one faithful, amazing person who put it, I should promote that really, should I? But he paid the price and, we all hung out and watched the game. So, come to our Discord, man. Come on. There you go.
Cannon Eagles got beaten by the Blues 22-57. So that's a good start for the Blues preseason. 50 odd points there. And the previous weekend, they scored 43 points against Sungoliath. So, hey, they can score points apparently. But then again, we know Caleb Clark can do if you're not going to defend him.
Do I have to comment?
No, you don't.
No. Caleb Clark's rubbish.
Kubota Steelers. Oh, sorry. Spears. So Colossus Spears. Okay, Spears, sorry. Lost the Chiefs 30-35. You can see how impressed I am with their oppositions. I can't even say their name. Even when I'm trying to read it.
The Force don't they make the track the Diggers? Don't they make Diggers and stuff? Kubota make Diggers and stuff like that?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I think they do.
Up the Wars, yes, because the Wars lost the Reds 32-7. And the Waratahs, sorry, not Wars. Yes, sorry, you're talking about, you're onto Rugby League, aren't you? Yes, we will get our Rugby League
wrong
show
day.
Back to the, when the NRL kicks off.
Wednesday.
They did have a new jersey that's quite nice. And actually, refreshing thing about the new Warriors away jersey is they haven't got the sponsor on. The sponsor has said, you know what, you're doing a retro jersey, so actually, you know what, take us off because we ruin it. We don't make it look like a retro jersey. So we're going to continue sponsoring you, but it's not just all about being on the jersey. So feel free to take us off the jersey, which was kind of a cool move. So well done to One New Zealand, what used to be Vodafone.
Old Vodafone.
Yeah. Old Vodafone. Well done, old Vodafone.
No one uses them anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I'm on 2 degrees personally. There you go. They don't sponsor me, so don't all go running out and getting 2 degrees. Just try and sponsor us. Just try and support us. And then finally, the Force lost the Brumbies 20-22. So, a bunch of games happened. I've not seen any reports about any particular injuries. I didn't watch any of them because they're preseason games. Who cares? Stop intruding on Brad and Richard's show. Absolutely. And there we go. And Simon's a Spark person. So we've got pretty much all the phone companies covered off.
Yeah.
There we go. You as well?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. We need someone from Skinny. Who uses, does anyone use Skinny? Because no one's saying they use Skinny on here. So there we go.
I mean, that would be highly ironic for me to use that. So I'll pass.
Oh, apparently another amazing Fijian wig has emerged for the Drua. Kel surprise. Right. They didn't even play this weekend. So how the hell do you know that?
Spell his name. Come on, Nocturnal. Spell it.
That must have been when they played the Brumbies. The Brumbies come with two narrow wins. There we go.
What was that Brumbies score against the Force? You say 22-20.
Yeah, 20-22. But they also beat the Drua 43-40 the previous weekend. So two
Force
close wins.
All right.
It's all shadow boxing. What does it really matter?
I think for the smaller teams, like the Force and stuff like that, I read a bit more into it about them because I feel like they are already going at 100% because they don't really have a 50%. You know, like the Brumbies, I feel like aren't fully exposing all their cards and all their options or their best team and stuff like that. Whereas I feel like, you know, the Highlanders, the Force, who else? Jeez, the Rebels probably a bit as well, but you know, they're kind of and Moana and obviously the Drua as well. I feel like we're probably on the same boat. They have kind of one speed, one tactic of this is our plan and here we go. This is our best team. This is our plan. Let's get ready and let's go into the season right from, you know, especially this time of the year right now. So I kind of think the Force for the Force, a couple of decent matches for them in preseason. I think at least they look like they are competing, right? Yep. What I don't want to see from the Force and Highlanders and Rebels and Drua Pacifica is losing by like 50 points. Like that's bad off because then, you know, I know it's only preseason, but any sort of morale that those smaller, unexpected performing teams lose now, going into a season, getting smashed 3 times in preseason or 4 times, you know, and then they go into the season, they're already kind of a bit behind the eight ball. Now, those guys go in and they've got a bit of confidence and they've got a bit of a belief in their play. Like, hey, this worked. We actually... You know, they still get confidence and mental fortitude from those performances. It gives them a little bit of a boost. I mean, the Brumbies, they don't really care because, again, win, lose, draw, it's fitness, it's about preparation. But I think for the smaller teams, there's a bit more to it for them. So, good for the Force.
And Force versus Hurricanes in Perth, round one, potential upset? Yes. Round two, yeah. Rebels versus Brumbies in Melbourne, potential upset? Nah. No. Simon says that... I think the Force was leading for most of the game, according to Twitter, for the Force. Look, Twitter is fake news. Looking at the scores, the Force were leading for a period of the first half. That was it. They were not leading for most of the game. And they had a kick at the death to try, conversion at the death to try and draw the game and missed. But there we go.
Ah, who missed?
So so fake news there on X or Twitter. Surprise, surprise. Talking of social media, though, you were being asked higher up. Somebody was asking if you've got Instagram. Rory is asking, Steve, do you have Insta?
Oh, me, Instagram? I do. I do not. I don't have good photos this year. I'm sorry. Actually, I have good photos from last year this year, but not for right now. No, not much use for it. Not using X too much either. More Discord probably for social stuff. That's probably where most people find me and get in touch now, even though it's not really a social media Discord channel. But yeah,
Discord. That's like a private kind of thing. It's the whole thing.
Anyone can join your channel, but
okay.
It's all links are on my channel, but we can fire a link. Discord. I still look at Twitter every now and then, once in a while, but mainly through that way. Yeah. And of course, through the channels, Twitch and YouTube, mainly.
Yeah, so I use Instagram for my horse stables, but that's toy stables, but that's it. I don't use it for rugby. Yes, yeah, so here we need competitive games on Saturday night. With those games being free to air TV, absolutely we do. But I've not looked at the schedule yet because hey, it's not here yet. So I'll pay attention to the schedule when the season starts. But before that. No, I mean, Super Round in Melbourne. With all the news about the Rebels going bust, what worse? We're going to have empty stadiums in round two. I mean, what a worse way to try and advertise the game than playing in front of an empty stadium in Melbourne for all of the games. A few people will turn up to the Rebels game, and they'll be thinking, "Well, look, do they exist next year? Probably not." Mm-hmm. So, is it worth me investing my emotional investment into this team that's going to disappear at the end of the year? We'll see. I mean, who knows? Yeah, at the moment, the head of Super Rugby is like, I don't really know what this tournament's going to be like next year. I do this year, but I'm not going to start. But I can't tell you anything beyond that. So, who knows? Long-term planning. That's what we love to see.
That's rugby.
So, should we get into some actual rugby then?
Now, sure.
I came on to your stream for England versus Wales at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and you were ranting and raving about how wonderful the previous game had been between Scotland and France, and then I went and watched it and went, it was better than the England Welsh game. That's fine, but we did have a whole section of the game where it just stopped. and they were playing kick tennis. 85 kicks in this game. Now, admittedly, there was one section where that more than a kick a minute. It wasn't evenly distributed, let's be honest. There was a section where there were kicks every 30 seconds, 20 seconds. If you include the 30 seconds, if you include the standing round in between the kicks, where they did kick quite a few. But it's a game that you were saying, look, it's a game that Scotland shut up shop and tried to defend. I think it was a game that Scotland were going like, we're not playing in our half, whatever. We're only going to play in the opposition half. And that's what led to this kicking tennis. Whereas France initially tried to play in their own half and then just went, sod this. Why are we playing here? No, we're just going to play in your half. And it was very much a territory thing that if we're in the right areas, that standard saying you get from Super Rugby coaches, we'll play in the right areas of the pitch. But just for a period in that second half, no one could get in the right area to play. I think it was kind of my sort of overview of the kind of game.
Yeah, to a degree, I agree with you there. But the fact that Scotland kind of has stopped attacking, like they were running a lot of these kicks back in that first 40 minutes. So again, yeah, they're looking for that territory game, but they had no real intent towards scoring any points in that second half. Like they thought that a 3-point lead or whatever they had at the time was going to be enough to hold through the end of the game. Again, it was a bit like the Wales game, wasn't it? They started off really well when they're attacking, when they're looking like they want to score points, their focus is to get points on the board and get off to a good start. They play well. It's then when they go to the sort of, now we're going to look to close out a game, that's when it just goes completely upside down for them. And I just I keep going back every single week. Mentally, I just feel like Scotland are not at the tournament at all in the right mindset to be successful. They just they're going to do well. They're going to start off well, and they're just going to have to rely on what they can do in the second half to get them home like it did against Wales. Look, let's be honest. The French were terrible. Their set piece is still really average. Luku was, I think, the change of Ligara coming on as scrum half in the second half really sped up their game. But let's be honest, that match was ultimately decided by just one moment of brilliance by our pool's favourite new winger since the Wangan Hitawazi is leaving and he has to learn how to say Buddy's name instead. Even I mess it up completely. But he's got skills, man. He's just one of those guys that can just... Sure, he got a little bit of room down that side to score that try, but that was a solo class act, just piece of X-factor brilliance that got them in the lead. And then what happened to Scotland? They just completely lost it, got desperate. Hey, they looked a lot better, but you notice after they scored that try, they went back to, we've got to score. And the intent went back to what it did in the first 20, 30 minutes, especially. And hey, they were making line breaks. They were running the ball from 60 meters out, from 70 meters out. They were getting in behind. And hey, look what happened at the end. Argue it away. We did on stream for about 40 minutes and everyone disagreed and agreed with each other. But barring that last moment of the game, mindset, I think, is Scotland's biggest issue. We've seen it 2 weeks in a row. And they won one, they lost one. They should be 2-0 and they should be doing it. I mean, they should have won that game by 10 plus points, I reckon.
I mean, the Bilibery try, I think, showed up the inexperience in that back three from Scotland, right? The fullback comes up thinking that he's got to come up to make the tackle. In reality, what he needs to do is stay back, ready for that kick through, and that his winger has got the sideline to help him, and he can cut off the defender. So it was a defensive error, structural error by Scotland that allowed that kick through. There and look, when you got young, Patterson was on debut and Rowe was his second game. When you got some guys of that inexperience in those two positions, you're going to make mistakes like that, and that's what it came down to. I don't think there was that much magic. He just read the situation really well and put the kick through. We see lots of players who can put the kick throughs like that. Now, can I? No, that's by the way. Okay, it's still a very good skill, but the this moment of magic or this moment of brilliance, no, I don't think so. I think it was that. I think it was a heads up play where he spotted that the fullback had come up when he shouldn't do, put the kick through, and used his pace. Fantastic. Well done. I think it's more rugby brain than magic.
What is X-factor brilliance? That's kind of what X-factor brilliance is, identifying a situation, executing it's not like he just ran. To be able to execute a weighted kick that falls back to the way he needs it to go, you know, and having his pace and positioning right. I mean, not everyone's going to score that try in that sort of situation, even if they read it well. You know, Caleb Clark ain't going to do that, let's be honest. He's got ability. Yes, he identified it well, and yes, Scotland did misread it. But I thought Patterson was really, really good majority through, especially that first half. I liked a fullback who takes the ball in.
I think both Patterson and Rowe had decent games, yes. Right? Don't get me wrong. I just think he just... I say inexperienced players will make little mistakes like that. What I mean is, unlike DuPont, where he's doing stuff that nobody else would even think of doing, this is something that a lot of wingers would think of doing, would try. Now he pulled it off. A whole bunch would try it and not pull it off. I agree there.
Like, but it
wasn't something totally out of the abnormal for what wingers do. Any fault was no sweep coming across to Scotland. Yes, as well, but I do think also the fullback did not need to come up in that situation. He came up when he didn't need to, and that was what left that gap. But anyway,
that was a good try.
They did need a player to unlock Scotland. Yeah, because France, when you watch the Ireland game, you can see structurally how they're scoring their tries. The French do not have those structures at the moment and the organisation to do it. It does need a player to go, right, that's how I can do it, boom, go, and pull it off. Yeah, absolutely. You are looking at individual efforts for their tries. And you've got to say, Scotland, well done for defending and containing. You can only play against a team that's there, right? So you've snuffed out the French attack, a team that is a top four team in the world. So well done. Are they top 14 in the world without DuPont? Maybe not. But I think they're sort of top four. Look, well done, Scotland, from that point of view. But you're right. Yeah, mentally, they've got a problem that's with big sides. And so let's talk about that. They did get the ball over the line at the very end for a winning try. Initially, it was held up. We can see it on top of the boot. And then it comes down to what the referee said and what the TMO saw. The referee said, "I've got held up. Do you have any evidence that the ball is down?" Do you have definitive evidence that the ball was down? At this point, what we then have is a bunch of shots that show that the ball goes off the boot and there's a leg in front of it, so you can't see where the ball actually goes. But by the laws of physics, or by the laws of just the shape of things, the only place it can be is touching the ground. Problem is, do you have definitive proof it is actually touching? Can you see the ball touching the ground? The answer is no, I can't see the ball touching the ground. I can see it in a position where it's probably touching the ground, but I can't actually see it touching the ground. So TMO has to say, no, I can't see it touching the ground. And therefore the referee made the call that he saw. The TMO gave the correct answer for the protocols he's allowed to. And everyone else in the world is going, and including the TMO, is going, well, it's on the ground, but I can't see it. Yeah. And everyone else in the world is going, yeah, it's on the ground. We can tell it's on the ground. You can tell it's on the ground, yes, but you can't see it's on the ground. And that's the difference. And that's what that minute difference is the difference on how Scotland lose this game. And how everyone throws their hands up in the air about the TMO, where the TMO actually did the job he is paid to do. Nothing wrong with what the TMO's... Now, you can have problems with how the TMO's allowed to make calls. That's fine. But the TMO himself did a good job in that situation.
You stole my thunder. Look, let's be honest. I was yelling at everyone saying, use the backs. Don't leave it to chance. And go into the areas where no one can see the ball unless you get a really good carry and manage to go around someone. Okay, the backs might not have worked, but at least when you go through the backs, you're going to get a clear one-on-one tackle where one of the 6 million cameras is going to see the ball clearly touch the ground. When you've got a muddle of about 14,000 people going all over the ball and the body, you're just shooting yourself in the foot, really. I understand why they do it. But it just leaves so much to being able to see that conclusive evidence and to chance. And you're leaving it to the chance of what can be seen and not seen. I agree. Exactly what you said was my reasoning for it at the time watching it live. And this was the argument pretty much I was putting out to all the Scottish people that were raging with absolute filth. If Nick Berry went, I think I'm going to give it an on-field try. Is there any reason why I cannot give it a try? As in, you've seen the ball held up. That would have been decided in about 3 seconds. It's gone off the leg, so it must have gone back to your call of being an on-field try. The fact that he said on-field, no try, held up, any conclusive or definitive evidence that it's not, again, like you say, you couldn't conclusively see. You saw the ball down, and you saw it roll off the leg, off the boots, but it wasn't, I mean, again, body of players, people walking everywhere, in the way, it's just, I agree 100% with you. It was all in the wording that Nick Berry said with his decision, and there wasn't 100% conclusive evidence that the ball was actually sitting there on the grass as well. And the fact that what I questioned as well is he went in over the line, but then had to come back to roll it back off the boot, and you couldn't see where the line was. I was questioning that too. Was it actually over the line by the time he rolled it back off the boot and off the leg? Because they were very close to the line. And I couldn't see a line to even answer my own question, let alone go back to the fact that it wasn't even down. So it could have been. That was just another thing I looked at and thought, well, he's come back, you know, probably a good at least half a meter off the leg to the boot to the ground. Where's the line in this situation? But I guess the fact that the referee, Nick Berry, called it held up means it was over the line, right? But then the fact that he had stopped the game means you can't restart the game with a ruck half a metre out from the line. So it all got a little bit messy in the end, really. But hey, I think referee Timo given the answers and responses and the way that they explained the situation, that was the outcome. Maybe not be right, but that was the outcome that was the right one given the circumstances delivered by the referee to the TMO.
It was the correct answer to the laws of the game and the interpretation of how you're supposed to manage a game. Now, whether, as you say, is that actually what happened? That's a different ball game entirely. But hey, it's a totally artificial game in the first place, right? So you're going to get an artificial answer in some cases, and that is it.
Use the backs, damn it! Use the backs.
Yes, use the backs.
Hey, I mean, if Barry saw something and thought it was down, and he said on-field decision to try, that game would have been over 20 minutes earlier, because that would have made
quite
all the difference. They took a long time deliberating about that, and it was all in the wording of the referee. Regardless of what you saw on your replay rolling off the boot, it's all in the wording, and all he could do is, have you got the definitive picture of the ball being on the grass? No.
Have you seen the ball on the grass? No, I haven't. Okay, done.
That's it.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
They're actually currently ranked 6th in the world behind England, which is kind of a bit of a surprise. But then again, England are the third best team in the world, as we saw the Rugby World Cup.
South Africa.
I guess England's run at the World Cup, and the fact that Scotland didn't get out of their pool, we'll have seen them drop down. This loss hasn't helped that, whereas England are still on for the Grand Slam with 2 wins. best game of the weekend, but still had its issues. Moving on then, England versus Wales. Listening to the commentary of the Ireland Italy game, and the expert analysis guy going, yeah, England's spending too much time on defence, need to spend some time on attack. It's like, oh, actually, yeah, you're probably right. Because look, neither side really looked like scoring many points in this game, and England basically did dominate the territory, played the game in the right areas of the pitch, but this time we only had 65 kicks in this game as opposed to over 80, even though I know you were talking about there being more kicking, too much kicking in this game compared to the other one, and yeah, England just managed it, I think, relatively well, kept Wales predominantly at arm's length, and then it just came down to who was going to get the kicks and who was going to take their moments, and England did, and they could have been and they missed both their conversions, so it could have easily been 20-14, but the difference was England took the penalties, kicked their threes, and won the game. I think they should have kicked a few more a few drop goals in the first half, because Wales, to be fair to them, didn't give up a single penalty in that first half, which is amazing. An amazing stat when you've been under that much pressure. England had, and actually Wales had 68% of the possession that first half, but it didn't feel like that. England seemed to spend a lot of time in the Welsh 22. Wales, for all their possession, all their territory, was not even England in England's 22. They were just in the half. They didn't seem to be able to get forward anywhere. Messy game. Did I say, came down to kicking in the end?
This game, I kind of agree with Simon. I think Wales were a bit unlucky in this one. I thought they had some decent chances, decent opportunities. I thought they had a bit more intent of how they wanted to score their points rather than just looking I mean, England look for threes, right? They look to accumulate, look to score. Whereas I kind of like the way that Wales had a bit more. I mean, they knew what they were up against, right? In the terms that how England were going to generally accumulate their points, right? So I guess they had a little bit of a game plan to get around that. I mean, again, like we talked about on stream, the young side, I kind of think that this is a good performance from them building on from what they did last week as well. But yeah, England, look, we talked about this right at the start, right? England is, and we did question what sort of game plan they'll go into this tournament with. We know that answer now, right? I mean, I could just literally, should we take a clip from the World Cup and we'll just play that? The fact that they played, you know, their expected plan, they kicked to the territory, they played boring sort of style, and they know how to do it, and they do it well. And they got the points. Elliot Daly still crap on the wing. And there's so many chances went to the wings and he wasn't there. Did I say that last week? I think I said that last week as well. And still, you know, George Ford, you talk about kicks. He had a shocking game. Looking back on it, he had a really poor game. And I feel sorry for a guy like Finn Smith who's sat on the bench. Yeah, okay, he's not experienced. He's new. But your position is out there having a shocker game and you're still not good enough to come on and replace him? Why am I in the 23? Why am I even here? He's having a good game, and it's close, sure. But, man, are you going to lose anything by having your experienced player on there playing like trash than bringing on your younger guy who knows how he's going to play, right? I mean, it's not like they're going to – I don't feel they would have lost much. Even bringing Urboso on as well, just a guy that's got a bit of X factor about him on the wing that could have broken that game open. I just don't feel like England's utilising – the skills and abilities they've got in that squad as well as they could. And I mean, just looking at George Ford as how poorly he was playing just made me question. I feel bad for those guys, you know, in there getting their chance in the 23 and it's riding the pine, watching them play a poor game. Doesn't sit well with me, unfortunately. But yeah, an interesting match. I thought Wales would struggle with the style of play that England were going to bring. That was my concern for them. I think we talked about this on stream as well, how that Scotland bring the game to them. They were going to play a bit more attacking and they don't, tactically, they aren't as aware as England is, right? So I think like they brought the game, they brought the ball, they brought a bit more action to the game for Wales, and Wales kind of soaked into that sort of style as well. England's very different. It's very hard to play England's style of game, right? To credit to them, and Wales didn't want to do that. So they struggled to adapt. I think they played pretty well, but England, you know, as all you talk down to them, I do anyway, they still get the win, and that's what you guys all say. It's got the win. Hey, we've played the two worst teams of the tournament, but we've got two wins. Alas, there you go.
Grand Slam still on. Look, I mean, for England, look, England are much more a set-piece orientated team than Scotland, and that's something that Wales didn't do well with in this game.
Yes.
Three screwed-up scrums, a couple of screwed-up lineouts as well. And, of course, we remember that the line-out stats can be misleading at times, as we'll get to with Ireland, Italy, in the fact that even if you win scrappy ball, you win ball. Even if you win a ball that doesn't go five and you get blown against you, you still win that line-out according to the stats. So there are some, yeah, the line-out stats can be misleading at times in overly being overly positive. I think this one was one of those there. But also Scotland-France, the lineouts weren't the set piece has not been great in this tournament, apart from one team who, funnily enough, are running away with the tournament.
Give them the trophy now.
yes, pretty much. But no, England could still get it. Fear of losing. I think England are concentrating on a new defence system with their attack later. Yes, I'm not sure about fear of losing, but I think building from the basics, and you can always, and it's kind of like, yeah, build your basics first, build your defence first. And then you can add on top of that. If you've got a leaky defence, doesn't matter how good your attack is, you're going to be playing harem and scarum the whole time. So you build your defence first, then you build your attack afterwards. Attack also takes more time. There's more nuance to it. Defence is trust each other and stand in this place. That's essentially what defence is. That's where Scotland read out, is the guy didn't trust that the guy in front of him was going to cover that gap. So he went to fill it. Trust the other. So it's about trusting your player, trusting the guys around you, so you don't get pulled out of position, and stand in your position and make your tackles. At the end of the day, let's be honest. Everybody at this level should be able to tackle. There's a few fly halves who we can perhaps leave out of that, but on the whole, everyone at this level should be able to tackle. So it's just a matter of, are you standing in the right place, and do you trust the guys around you not to move from that place? Is really it.
I find building on that, like with the way England defends and what they probably did very well compared to France too, that Scotland-France game, that last break that led to that try-no-try situation, Kyle Rowe made a very good break. But the way he made that break, the defence came up very quickly, but he spilt the ball backwards and went back to get it. And that, ironically enough, some players keep chasing forward, others stayed back and held line. So when he turned around with the ball, he had a fracture. Bang, bang, he was through. And that's the other thing with defence is too, you can't go like this and create gaps. You've got to go collectively. And I think that's, England do that well, right? Like they do come forward and they come forward in that curling wave from the outside to shut out those channels, which you've seen a lot of times, like you mentioned it, watching the game, Wales passing over the head of defenders. And by the time like Urio dies and they got the ball, that curling covering defence has time to go back out and cover that edge. So they do that very well collectively as a team. Was I found France were doing a good too until they got that loose ball. And then it's like, crap, what do we do? Do we carry on going forward? They've lost 5 meters. And so I'm like, no, I'll stay back here, mate. Sorry. And then bang, you've got that little indecision, you've got that fracture. And just, I mean, if he caught that ball flush, Kyle Rowe, he wasn't making that line break. Let's be honest. That kind of just about changed that game. So yeah, a lot of trust, but there's a lot of synchronicity about it as well of staying in union with your teammates too, which makes a big difference.
Yep, no, absolutely. That's my stand. See, you put it much more eloquently than my stand in the right place. It was my piece. So Wales were unlucky. Look, it's a 2-point game. I mean, look, you shouldn't have one side dominating the other on some sort of stat. It should be down to the bounce of the ball. If it's that close, they should have an opportunity to win it. Absolutely agree. But if it's 2 points the other way, you wouldn't be saying this because it's England, but I think you could equally have said England were unlucky as well. So, whoever was going to come out of this one on a 2-point loss was going to be unlucky at the end of the day. I'll be honest, I thought Ford had a poor game. I'm not sure it was trash. I'm not sure I'd go that far. We pay you for your opinions and for your and for your hyperbolic, whatever the word is.
My extreme double dipping COVID payments.
Yeah, exactly. You're double dipping to get the viewers in.
Josh Ford has a very high quality of standard, right? You expect, like, you see him play, you've got a very high standard. I do. I think, like, to me, his standard of play, like, I see him going out, I want to see that Argentina World Cup game from him. He's a guy capable of not dominating a game like a Dan Carter would, but dominating a game with tactical kicking, hitting all his kicks, making good decisions. A kind of an England quality, smart sort of player, which just does everything either decently or good. I've not really seen him have like an absolute bad game like that where you actually stand out and see him and go, why did he do that? Or, you know, how's he got that so wrong? He's not the sort of player I associate with going below that just playing a basic solid game.
The Paul is always subtle with his team talks. Yeah, I mean, look, England's got 61% territory in this game, right? So you could argue that actually he did his job of leading the team around the pitch, but his kicking at sticks was not good, and he did make other mistakes as well. So even in a poor performance by him, he's got his team playing in the right places. So yeah, that's what you pay him to do. You don't pay him to be Finn Russell making breaks and stuff, or Finn Russell standing around the back going, I'm not going to move, so you can't touch me. You pay him to put your forwards where they want to be. And that's what he did, effectively. Only 12 penalties, but we did have 3 yellow cards in this game. So when the referee stepped in, he stepped in big time on that. But again, no complaints about the referees across this weekend, to be honest with you, on any of these ones.
Good Super Rugby reach, that's what they are.
Well, apart from the last game, where we had
I was fishing. Right. I'm waiting for the chat. Southern Hemisphere referees suck.
In the last game, we had an English referee in the last game Ireland versus Italy, and a referee who was happy to make a call, watch the TV and go, I got that wrong, I'm changing it. And just go and be very, very nonchalant about it. Yep, I got it wrong. No big deal. Move on. The 2 tries that he gave that he called back for Ireland. I won this one 36-0. They left about 4 tries out there, at least. They weren't very clinical in this game. And whilst Lowe got man of the match, I think he also ran down some blind alleys and gave the ball up occasionally as well. So, yeah, not, I think, a game where Ireland knew they're going to win it and got a try after the first 7 minutes, which settled any nerves. But I think, and a set piece from Italy that was just gave them no platform. Five lost lineouts, but an awful lot more messy ones. Also at scrum time, a bit of a mess, giving up lots of penalties at scrum time as well. And that basically Ireland, they would try stuff that wasn't really on because they could. Hey, you know what? We'll give it a go because, hey, I can. So I think, yeah, not a great game from Ireland, even if they did have 12 clean breaks for their six. Now, they had six tries. They went off, but we did have at least one from lineup more from memory. So, yeah, here's a team that tried lots of stuff, but a lot of it didn't come off. But they could get away with it because Italy just weren't challenging them. Or they were just so powerful, Italy couldn't challenge them.
It's a shame, right? It's quite a shame. I mean, we had low hopes of Italy going into this tournament. Then we watched them last week and we were like, maybe they might do something. Then we saw that they were playing Ireland in round two, and it was kind of a bit disappointing, right? Because you thought after that build up of round one, and they would have got a wee bit of confidence out of that, making it a close game, and that if they went on to play Wales or Scotland, or even the way France is playing, even France, they probably would have been a little bit more confident and actually shown a bit. But man, Ireland just look they don't look like they belong at the moment. They look so far better than everyone else. And like you say, it wasn't a clinic from as the way that they played from the Irish. I've seen a number of tries called back, silly things. But you saw the body language, right, of the Irish. The confidence was there. They were having fun. And so that's such a difference. It wasn't close. I mean, the Italians missed a chance to score first, right? It's up that wobbly old kick that looked like, an 80-year-old grandma had come out and tried to knock it over, and it was about as good as her walking. It was just all over the show. So, things like that, I think, feel like the Italians, even a three-pointer like that, getting up 3-0 early after 4 minutes or whatever it was, could have made a bit of a difference for them, confidence-wise and just getting into the game. But they are a team that need that sort of thing. It's disappointing. It really is disappointing because I had high hopes that they might have actually given a few teams a bit of a run. I looked at the stats just before this as well, and they just didn't seem like they were really in the game at all, did they? They're just there as passengers, which is I'm really disappointed about. I'm really disappointed about because I think that they're a team that is starting to get the personnel and the players, and the style that they can do stuff with. Capazzo was back. That little X Factor player. Really love that X Factor name. So, promising a lot, delivering round one, falling completely off their horse in round two. I fear that this is a team that if they go into round three in a couple of weeks, where's their mind going to be? Is that going to really hurt them too much? I know they're not expecting a lot, but to be donutted, to get a Duncan special, is not good.
No, it wasn't good. And the lineup of the next games, we take a weekend off, and then we have we're back again in 2 weekends' time. As far as the rugby goes, don't worry, folks. We'll be back next week to preview the games, but we'll probably preview the games the next few minutes anyway. But looking at the TAB, the only team you cannot bet on for next weekend or the next round is France. Already, they've taken France off. Who are playing Italy?
Wow.
So they've already said, yeah, don't worry. You can't. You can bet on Ireland to beat Wales. You'll get them at a dollar and a cent. So for every dollar you put on, you get $1.01 back. So they're clearly massive favourites. But even with France, you can't even get a dollar and a cent. You just cannot put money on them to beat Italy.
I would have suspended betting on Ireland-Wales before I'd suspend betting on France-Italy. France looks so... like they're not France, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just not France. I mean... If Italy can sort, we'll preview them shortly, I'm sure. But man, if they can sort out set piece, if Italy can sort out their lineout. Okay, I won't even say set piece. I'll say lineout because that is a real issue. The French lineout is diabolical. They can sort that out. They have the players. They just need the confidence. I mean, France need a lot. They need a lot going their way because discipline, set piece, continuity. I think they need to make changes, like the number nine change I mentioned earlier, that starting, Legarek needs to start. Just bring pace to the game and actually have some flow in their attack. Like Italy, Scotland, Wales, they all have a degree of flow and continuity and players running on the ball. France is like, shovel, go do something. They look in a bad way.
Yeah, look, I think Italy at $18 is not a bad, nope. It's not a bad stat.
I would take that. There.
Much better than Wales at $15 in Dublin.
Really?
that's just throwing money away.
Wales is paying less to beat Ireland in Dublin than Italy is paying. France is at home, right? So Jesus.
They are, but then France aren't in Paris, right? They're kind of at home, but they're not really.
That's for the Olympics, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
Italy all day for me.
They're somewhere else.
$5. Put it on. Good for the game. Yeah, $100. Dub.
$100. I'm not going that be. I might go $2. they're playing in Lille.
Lille
for this one. So again, yeah. So it is in France, but it's not really at home per se. So Ireland do $1.01. And yeah, so it's all right. Says no one wins in Dublin these days. Well, Ireland do, but no one else does. they're easy sent. And then Scotland England game is the interesting one of the round.
Yes.
That one, Scotland currently at $1.72 and England at $2.20, which I think is the right way around. Yes, England are ranked above them in the World Rugby rankings. But look, that gets skewed by things like England having a nice pool to get out of and Scotland not. Let's be honest. Lille's not even a traditional rugby arena. No, it's a football one as well. The reviewer says that's the same city they struggle against Uruguay in. I'm not sure I would... necessarily put too much into that one.
I would
good for money. Wouldn't back Italy with your money. Hey, look, it's $2. Come on, let's get in there. And Lille is more soccer. Lyon does have a rugby team, yes. But Lille doesn't. Scotland $1.72, England $2.20. Look, England are the one big team. Or one sort of traditional big team in the world that Scotland don't have a hoodoo against, right? They're the one team that they go, we can beat them because we've done it recently, quite a few times actually. So I don't think Scotland will have that hang up. And so, yeah, you've got to say that Scotland at home should be favourites in that one. But fifth versus sixth in the world. That's the game of the round because. Otherwise, you've got Ireland, who are second in the world against Wales, who are eighth. And France against Italy, who are, a fourth against 11th in the world. So,
Italians. 11th.
Yep.
Ugly.
Behind.
Who's team?
Fiji. There. But
Fiji would beat them, right? Let's be fair.
Yeah.
Who's ninth and eighth?
So we go. So South Africa, Ireland, New Zealand, France, England. Your top five: Scotland, yeah. Argentina at seventh, Wales at eighth, Australia at ninth. after their abysmal Rugby World Cup, that is probably Australia's lowest ever world ranking. I guess. Yeah. Fiji at 10, Italy 11, Japan at 12, Georgia has moved up to 13th. Then Samoa, then Tonga. Portugal have dropped from 13th down to 16th with their loss to Belgium, was it? I think it was.
Yes, 2 weeks ago. Last weekend, yeah. Not just, one before.
USA at 17, the first side that wasn't at the Rugby World Cup.
Didn't Australia fall 10th during the World Cup or near the end of the World Cup? The first time they've ever gone outside of the top nine? I could be wrong. But I feel like just before they beat, when they lost to Fiji, or was it after the big Wales loss? It was during the group stage. So what happens when you lose to Belgium last week? Belgium did lose to Romania this week. Romania is a good enough team, right?
No, you're quite right. Yep, they did drop to 10th last year.
Look, You come here for the knowledge, man. You come here for the knowledge. Yeah. That's why we're on the big COVID bucks. That's why.
So there we go. So yeah, so that's looking forward to. We'll give a proper preview of those next weekend. But to give you the summary right now, 3 home wins in the next round. Is the easy one.
Go Italy.
Go Italy. Yes. Okay then. But we have to answer Dub City's question here. How would you rank these Chiefs teams? Exeter, Kansas City, NZ Gallagher. Well, what are we ranking them in? Quality? How much we like them? And quality is very quick and easy, right? And Kansas City Chiefs are currently the best out of those because they're the champions in their sport. And I then go Gallagher Chiefs and then Exeter Chiefs at the back there, personally. But I don't know. Would you, from a current quality point of view, rather than how much you like them?
From a current quality? I mean, NFL's got money coming out of its nose. It can literally have the best players. If we're talking about how we'd rank these Chiefs team in the game of rugby.
Oh, well, look, then that's... Kansas City Chiefs would come last.
Good.
Well, because they don't play the game. They don't know what they're doing.
How do you know that? How do you know that? I reckon because they could pick it up pretty quick.
You're like that guy who... Who was that guy who went on Twitter saying, I would dominate rugby if I played it. God, they're all useless. And then Joe Marler came out and said, oh, I'd bend in him too like a pretzel.
He was an NFL guy too, wasn't he?
He was NFL, yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, rugby. I mean, in terms of how much you like him, I don't hate Kansas. I mean, look, they are a bit of a dynasty to the NFL right now. Like what they've done, you know, back-to-back Super Bowls, quality, incredible team. I'm not a fan of the Gallagher Chiefs, to be completely honest with you. I think they're going to have a bad season. So give me Exeter, just because I like putting the cat amongst pigeons. Kansas, Exeter, and Gallagher Chiefs last. Down with the Chiefs, up the Landers. That's what you got to know, Dub.
Well, look, I live in Chiefs country, so Gallagher Chiefs or Waikato Chiefs rather than Gallagher. Actually, I don't like calling them Gallagher Chiefs. Waikato Chiefs first on that one. Look, I used to be an extra Chiefs fan. Cultural appropriation and kind of racism kind of stuff with dealing with First Nations people, but they've got rid of that now. So they've removed all that branding, which is good. So then Exeter Chiefs back up in my opinion. And then Kansas City Chiefs last, probably because I actually like all of them, to be honest, at this point. So none of them I actually dislike.
I got another ranking for you. Best kits.
Okay. I'm going to go for, so the problem with Exeter, right, is they have just black kits. Just a black jersey. There's just nothing about them that's kind of interesting. The Gallagher Chiefs, or the Waikato Chiefs one, look, at least has the kind of, it's black again, but at least it has the Maori symbols in that sort of black grey, so you can kind of see them.
It's got some yellow and red.
Oh, sorry?
It's got yellow and red normally on it as well.
Oh, a little bit, yes, but only in highlights.
Just a little bit.
Just little bits of highlights, yes.
It's not straight black like Exeter.
Exactly, yeah. So Exeter's got to come last because it is straight black and boring.
Yes.
You turn it on, you're not quite sure who they are. Whereas I like the jersey. If you switch a game on, can you immediately say who's playing?
He right, says so, it's coming from a New Zealand channel with the All Blacks.
International jersey you generally can do, but if you know it's an international game. But things like if you turn on what do you call it? Is Exeter known for badges in the area? Would that work? No, not particularly.
I'm sticking. I like it nocturnal. I'm stealing that.
They're sticking with they've stuck with Exeter Chiefs, but now the branding doesn't have any Native American stuff in it. It's all got about Western Chiefs Southwest England Cornish kind of Chiefs style thing, which is the kind of from the area. So it is now regionally appropriate with the branding and the Chiefs logos. If you turn it on and you see Gloucester playing, you know it's Gloucester straight away. Red and white hoops. No one else plays in red and white hoops. Leicester Tigers have screwed up their jerseys. They used to be hoops and you could tell who they were. Nowadays, it's harder because they keep screwing around with their jersey. When it's just green, white and red lines, you knew who they were. So I like a jersey when you turn it on, you can see and know who you, who's playing. So from that point of view, who else plays in red in American football? I think you kind of know. That's true. That's the other team they were playing against. but it's a different red. So, yeah, I think Dub City, who could possibly like an All Black kit? No, All Blacks is fine. But just the extra, say for a club jersey, to me, it's just boring. It's May. Whereas Harlequins, I love the Harlequins jersey. Because again, you switch it on, you know immediately who's playing when you see Harlequins. So yeah, more unique jerseys, folks. That's where, to me, Moana Pacifica have screwed up, right? The jersey they had for their first ever game against Maori All Blacks, that one-off game, that made it look like the cloth. So it's white, but it was kind of slightly off white because it was that kind of like traditional cloth thing. That looked fantastic. So it was different. No one else has a jersey like that. Their jersey now, it's blue or red. Yeah. Fine. It's got various patterns in it, but it just doesn't have the same, to me, uniqueness that original jersey had.
How did we get onto jerseys? Who started that? Great question, Dub. Great question. Keep them coming. We need the next one. We need the Auckland Blues, the Cardiff Blues, or
there's bad names for teams. Okay, and calling yourself Blues and Reds. Why? Come on, have a bit more imagination, please. Auckland, you're the city of sails. There's shit there, right? Actually, you call them the boat, but look, there's the Clippers or something like that, or maybe that's the wrong type of boat. But I. There's stuff there that you can actually do.
Yes, St. Louis Blues, love it. Save that one for next week, Dub.
But Blues. The Blues is the most boring name in rugby. I'm sorry, but and your problem with the things like the Chiefs and Warriors is which one are you talking about? At least with Hurricanes. You know who you're talking about. There's only one Hurricanes. There's only one Highlanders, as far as I'm aware. You actually know, you know which team it is. Whereas when you talk about the Blues, again, you have to go, which Blues? Which Ooh. Chiefs? Which? So again, try and get a unique name and try and get a jersey style that's unique so I can actually tell who the hell you are. So to me, those are kind of two key things you want to do.
And this has been our one-hour episode on how to start a sports club. And then next week, we'll explain to you how not to fund your club.
Oh, we've been doing that for the past few weeks. How not to fund your sport.
The six-part series. Yours today for only $99.95. 60 payments.
Oh, dear. All right, then. Are we done?
Pretty much, yeah. Next week, home wins. We already talked about that, haven't we?
Yeah, next week we'll preview the games, but essentially home wins is what we're expecting.
What preseason games we've got this weekend? I know the Crusaders are playing the Highlanders. It should be that's the Heartland Cup, which is always a massive feature of the calendar. You've got to love the Heartland Cup down in the field days. Full farmers love it. Get yourself a tractor while you're there as well.
The Heartland Championship is how can you have a cup between two Super Rugby teams when the Heartland Show is the provincial court tournament?
Because they're the champions, you see, straight away. It's a one-off game. You see, Heartland's Cup, buy a tractor, watch some rugby, and drink some beer. That's what it's all about. That's normally a pretty fair sort of game, as in because it's actually South Island Derby, right? It's not like a proper game, right? But it's got a bit more about it than just hey, it's a preseason game against the Chiefs. So it should be interesting to see how it goes. But have we got anything else of interest from preseason this weekend worth watching?
So Hurricanes and Moana Pacifica, I think that's being held in where's that skiing place in the South Island?
Queenstown?
Queenstown, I think.
Is it?
Remember?
Really?
Oh, no, Upper Hutt.
Oh,
NZCIS Upper Hutt. Where, sorry?
That's your end of the country.
Well, it's Wellington. Hurricanes. Sorry, not Highland. There. Okay, so this is the one that this used to be the TUI sponsored one that's in the middle of nowhere. So I went to this once and actually wrote a blog post about it, about going to Eketahuna for a game. So that's where this is going to be, in Eketahuna, that kind of area. So yes, that's a cracker. They have the halftime entertainment is a croc sprayer spraying the ground with water.
This seems to be the round, or the pre-season round, of going to somewhere completely in the middle of nowhere and playing a game of rugby and getting all the farmers to go. Great.
And they park a bunch of trucks up as the second tier of the stand. So you have a bunch of seats in a stand, and you have a truck behind it which people climb on top of the truck and sit on top of the truck to watch the game. For some reason, they had an American World War II plane doing a flyby as part of part of the halftime entertainment as well. Cool, but relevant? How?
I mean, who cares? Watching mascots run isn't very relevant either, but it's still entertaining.
They didn't have any mascots. So that's a cool layout if you want to go. I think it'd be about 9 years ago. So I went to one of those 8 years ago. Crusaders Highlanders Methven, Methven. Where the hell's that? Never even heard of the place. As you say, middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Blues Chiefs.
Speaking of Nocturnal's comment, they're saying that the Crusaders are traveling back from the UK. Watching the end of that Bears game against the Crusaders, they talked about it. Who was there? Tom Christie, someone like that, was in there, was doing up in the press box TV stuff, saying that pretty much everyone that played in the UK tour, bar maybe one or two players, won't be even near that match squad whatsoever. He said they've got a whole squad back in New Zealand already preparing for that match. So don't worry about guys coming back from the UK and playing that game. It sounds like the All Blacks are going to be playing in that game for the Crusaders because they are all prepping, and they are going to be prepping in the squad for this game. And so the rest of the squad's already in the country. So those guys are just going to be on holiday mode for about a week, I'd say, training, recovery.
So, and the Blues... Let's see. So we got the other people taking it to the country, to the people to play their game. The Blues in
Park,
Oniwa Domain, Auckland.
Oh,
so yes. So look, okay, it's at a domain. It's at, yeah. No, look, they're not going to put Eden Park. They can't afford to do it. They seriously lose money. But even so, yeah. Look, take it up to Northland. Take a game to Northland, please. Hello, Northland is part of your franchise. Go there once every 10 years.
Not salty.
Breathe. Then the Rebels versus the Drua Gosh.
That'll be all right.
G-O-S-C-H, Gosh's Paddock, Melbourne. Wherever.
Sounds like they're taking it to Hickville as well.
Well, no, it's still in Melbourne, right?
Melbourne's a region, though, isn't it?
Melbourne's a city. It's not a region.
Yeah, but it's
in Victoria.
It's massive, though. I can easily go to the edges.
I'm being told off because apparently Super Rugby Round One, the Blues are taking their game against the Fijian Drua up to Whangarei. So well done for that, Blues, with the Fijian Drua, because obviously you knew you were going to get an empty stadium at Eden Park for that one. So 23rd of Feb. So that's the same weekend as Six Nations, right? Next one, that's 2 weekends away.
Yep. So first round of Super Rugby is the third round of Six Nations. Correct.
I'm going to get swamped in that. So yeah, so Chiefs Crusaders and Rebels Brumbies on Friday night. Saturday, then we have Force Hurricanes, Blues Fijian Drua, Fijian and Drua, Highlanders Moana Pacifica, and Reds versus Waratahs. So hang on. I know that's Hurricanes, Moana Pacifica, isn't it? Yeah, I was going to say Highlanders, Moana Pacifica play each other back to back weekends, but no. comment earlier by Simon about saying, yeah, look, that Moana Pacifica needs to choose one place rather than changing grounds all the time. Absolutely, and make your home in Samoa and play a couple of games in Tonga each year. Based out of Samoa. Stop this messing around in South Auckland. It doesn't work. clearly it's not worked. So go on then. That's what you should do. So there you go. Yes, the second round is all in Melbourne. And then third round, we're back to normal again with those games. So, yeah, looking good.
Can't wait. When are we getting a sponsor? Look, Dubs says we need a sponsor name for your team name, but I think we should get a sponsorship 2 degrees NZ Sport Radio. Sounds great. And there's even blue to go with it as well to match up perfectly.
Or Spates. We can do Spates as well.
You live in the North Island, man. Spates ain't going to sponsor you.
Well, you can work on that.
I live in Southland. Spates ain't going to sponsor me. I'm going for the Red Bull sponsorship. We've been trying that for about a year. Still waiting for that email back.
Extreme sports. Oh yeah, that's you fighting Ethan Gritz, right? That's
yeah.
The
yeah. I'm all about the extreme sports.
It's a bit like the
that one where they got nations. That's about as extreme as it gets.
Really bad TV where they used to pay 200 people to fight each other or get a kind of you can be the kind of the chump that gets smashed up.
I'd watch that.
Right, time to cut it off.
No,
folks.
We would not. Chinese beating sponsor.
The
put 2 yen on Italy.
2 yen.
I don't know how much that is.
Super Rugby could have a team sponsored by. Look, they're not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Get it on the shirt.
Yeah, there's no money yet. Red Bull have actually just bought a cycling team, a road cycling team. So there you go. Anyway,
well, they're in Leipzig as well.
Sorry,
they're in Leipzig, Red Bull Leipzig, in Germany.
Oh yeah, they've got some football teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, folks. Thank you, everybody. Catch you all next week. Have a good time. Stay safe. And yeah.
Get Super that bidding sponsor. Yeah.
It's exciting. Yay!
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I am Dori Shafrir, the co-host of the podcast Forever 35, which is all about the things we do to take care of ourselves. And starting next week, we have a new co-host.
It's me. I'm Elise Hugh. I am an author, journalist, and a podcaster.
Yay! Elise and I are going to be getting into a lot of the same topics that we've always talked about on Forever 35, like skincare, like getting older, and of course, Forever 35 faves like butt care and Costco.
She said Costco.
I said it.
I'm so excited to be coming along on this journey.
I am so excited to have you. So listen to Forever 35 wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.